Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, and the final hour. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you want to give Tyler some grief for knocking us off air, it's producer T. Scott on Twitter. Missed the first hour? Pretty much all draft. I mean, that's what's happening, right? We did do stupid stuff because we won't be around. 6 o'clock is when your draft coverage starts.
That's right.
So you can keep up with the second round and find out who else goes tonight and where your Texans finally move into the second round at some point. I'm predicting they're trading next year's Seahawk pick to move into the second round tonight, plus something else, like a fifth or a sixth, to get a second round pick.
Where do you think? Middle second, late second?
I'm thinking late second. And especially if that tackle from TCU is still available,
okay.
The Noteboom kid, who they seem to like. So that's my prediction. It is 100% guaranteed to be accurate, unless it isn't, in which case.
And then it's not.
Yeah. Well, I'm just throwing a hot take out there for you. What do you anticipate tonight? Because, like, the Browns with that first pick, you've got Darius Guy still out there. You've got Nick Chubb. Do you think they'll take a running back there?
It's possible, and that's the time really to start taking them if that's what you're in for. But I could also see them, you know, using the pick tonight on a pass rusher. You know, since they didn't take one yesterday, if they take Harold Landry from Boston College,
yeah,
that wouldn't shock me.
Probably the best one left, right?
It also, or Sam Hubbard from Ohio State. It wouldn't shock me also if they went with, like, Connor Williams or somebody like that.
Well, Hernandez.
Yeah. I tend to think they want Connor, or they would prefer to have a tackle because they're losing Joe Thomas. But I don't know how good Connor Williams is going to be at the next level. But yeah, there's still some good offensive linemen there available. But running back wouldn't surprise me.
You think Cortland Sutton is the next receiver to go?
I guess Christian Kirk could be also, and I'm not exactly high on him, but I like Cortland Sutton the best of the guys that are still available. He and Michael Gallup are probably my two favorites that are left. I like that kid from Memphis too, Anthony Miller. So I think there's going to be a lot of receivers taken on day two here.
Yeah. Do you see, I don't know if you saw this, but Lance did his mock drafts for round two and three after last night.
Okay.
That's one of the things he was so busy with all week. And this is Lance's Super Bowl week.
Oh, yeah.
And especially being out there and doing stuff for NFL Network. But would you like to know the three guys that he has the Texans taking in the third round?
Sure.
Brian O'Neill, tackle from Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I'll take that. Anthony Averett, cornerback from Alabama.
All right.
Don't mind that. And finally, Dalton Schultz, tight end, Stanford.
Okay. I mean,
they came away with those three. Would you
listen,
be okay?
I mean, you don't feel great about it, but
they're third-round picks.
Yeah.
what are you supposed to feel?
That's what you got. So, yeah, if you're expecting to get first-round talent, it's probably not going to happen because you don't have any first-round picks. So, yeah, I mean, if that's what they walk away with, fine.
Yeah, well, that's just Lance's projection. But of all the people out there, I trust Lance the most. I didn't go back and check and see how his first round did because I never do that. Does anybody ever do that?
No, it's stupid.
Because why? Why would you, right? I didn't go back to check and see how Josh's did either, but I think if you get 6 to 8 right, usually,
yeah,
you've done well. But it's funny, everybody wants, well, where's the accountability? It's like, well, it's a mock draft. Why are you so caught up in that?
Yeah.
You know? it's just like, you know, it's one thing to say, where's the accountability when you're making picks against the spread or something? Okay, this other team, I don't know who they're playing tonight. They got a little better hitters.
Uh-oh.
I'm just saying, just as far as warm-ups go. I mean,
it's the first day of the season. Maybe
maybe the batting practice pitcher is going easier on these guys.
That's
going,
possible, too.
Yeah. So I wonder if this is where the Patriots take their quarterback now. Oh, they just made a trade, by the way.
The Patriots did?
Yeah, with the 49ers.
What'd they trade?
Picks? No, they picked up the 49ers, who we didn't talk about. But they got a tackle. They've still got Staley there for at least a couple more years. I love that. I think, you know, build that offensive line, protect Garoppolo. But since they got him, they traded Trent Brown to the Patriots, who also in need of a tackle.
Yeah.
And, you know, very solid player. So so basically they sent
They also drafted a tackle.
Well, right.
Last night, Isaiah
right.
Wynn. But Isaiah Wynn, from what I understand, most people think he's a guard in the NFL. But that's like that's the one spot where the Patriots are really solid at, is the inside of that offensive line. So I don't think they're going to move him to guard. I think they may just be trying to revamp their tackle situation.
Well, and he played tackle at Georgia. So yeah. I think the concern is if he had longer arms, he would be a for sure NFL tackle. But yeah, Belichick doesn't really pay attention to those kind of things. I mean, he finds guys that he thinks can play. And so I think that was an interesting pick, because I know the guy can play. It's just, is he going to be a guard or a tackle? And Trent Brown can play tackle and play pretty well for you. So basically, you know, it makes sense for the 49ers. He's expendable. Pick up another pick. So there you go. San Francisco sent Brown and a fifth-round pick to the Patriots. They get a third-round pick, number 95 overall, in return.
Okay.
Patriots move down from 95 to 143 and get a tackle.
Yeah.
Kind of works for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So,
you think the Patriots take, who do you think, Mason Rudolph? Or that get kid from Richmond?
Yeah, I think the Richmond kid is the one that everybody seems to think can play. I mean, I'm like, okay.
Kyle Lauetta?
Yeah. That doesn't sound
Lauetta.
That doesn't sound like a quarterback name to me.
No, I don't like that name.
At least Mason Rudolph. No, that sounds like a bad gunfighter.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Well, there were two Joshes in this draft. I don't think that necessarily sounds like quarterback names. So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Somebody says, too much sport today. Well,
I mean,
what
the
hell?
It's day after day one of the NFL draft.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of those
days. You're
going
to have to deal with
this.
Yeah.
All right. Saturday, tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m., where are you going to be? Kima Boardwalk. That's where the Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries are inviting you to spend a day sampling over 72 of their finest craft beers. Breweries like Eighth Wonder, Austin East Ciders, Buffalo Bayou, Ballast Point, Deschutes, Galveston Island, Carbach, Real Ale, Saloon Door, Spindle Tap, and St. Arnold, along with several others, are all going to be out there slinging their brew. You can buy your tickets now, $44.95 per person. Today's the last day you can get them at that price. $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID. Tomorrow, they're going to be $49.95 at the event. Your admission includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, and food samples, live music all day. You can purchase your tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kima Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase and, of course, must be 21 years of age to enter. They're doing a craft beer cruise on a yacht at 1 p.m. You can do that. You could do the hotel package, which includes a one-night stay at the Boardwalk Inn and two tickets to the festival. Go to Kima Craft Beer or KemaBeerFest.com for all details. That's KemaBeerFest.com for the Kima Craft Beer Fest. When I'm in a New York state of mind. State of mind. Your state of
mind. Your state of mind. Now hear this. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, we were just talking here during the break about Harley-Davidson. If you're an intern for Harley-Davidson, they're giving away motorcycles to all their interns for the summer internship program. if you're not in the internship program and you still want a Harley Davidson, Republic Harley Davidson is a place to get one. They've got, first of all, their service department's out of this world. They've got seven master technicians on staff. When I need my bike worked on, I drive down here to Sugar Land and I take it to Republic Harley Davidson because I know the job's going to be done right. And when you're on that bike, you want everything to be working perfectly. Republic Harley Davidson makes sure my machine is running properly. If you haven't seen the showroom, you got to see it, guys. They've got about 100 brand new bikes on the showroom floor, every model, every color you could dream of. And then outside, they've got a massive inventory of pre-owned Harleys. In fact, if you're in the market for a pre-owned, it's a great time because they've got a gigantic pre-owned Harley Davidson tent sale going on now. They've got over 100 bikes marked to sell at wholesale prices. On-the-spot lender approval for all credit scores. It's going on through Saturday, so today and tomorrow, still to get out there, only at Republic Harley-Davidson. Whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, you name it, Republic Harley-Davidson's the best in Houston. They've got financing for everyone. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at republichd.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugar Land. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Constellation Field in Sugar Land, opening night for the Skeeters. Fireworks after the show. The New Britain Bees, that's who they're playing.
Oh.
Those are the guys who look pretty good here.
Scumbags.
Yeah. Skeeters are going to roast their souls. Just because the other guys look better in batting practice doesn't mean a damn
Skeeters
thing.
Skeeters versus the bees.
Yeah.
Can't wait till the horse flies come to town. It's an obnoxious bug league.
Yeah. All right. You know what? We're going to do this now because we're going to have RJ next, and we tend to go over, so we may not have time for a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. So let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Okay, this is a place I will never drink, just to let you know. But a British explorer named Nick Griffiths, he's from Bolton, Greater Manchester.
All right.
Was in Canada to participate in the Yukon Arctic Race in February. And unfortunately, extreme temperatures forced the 46-year-old to abandon the race and seek treatment for frostbite at a hospital.
Was he expecting it to be warm in Alaska for the Yukon race?
Well, it wasn't Alaska. It's like northern Canada?
Canada,
yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. But doctors informed him they would need to amputate three of his toes from the frostbite. So I'm going to just say,
I mean, that's unfortunate.
You brought this on yourself, okay?
Yeah.
If you're going to go do an Arctic race, by definition, Arctic race, cold.
It's going to be cold.
Yes. Maybe you need
pack warm socks.
Maybe socks that actually have like a heater in them or something.
Yeah,
you know. But so he lost three toes, and he asked the surgeon if he could save them. And it turns out he.
When you make a necklace?
No. He sent them to the hotel, and basically they're going to use them as a whiskey garnish.
Oh no!
Yes. It's the signature sour toe cocktail. It's basically just a shot of whiskey with a shrunken human toe in it. They've been doing this since 1973 because obviously people in the Yukon are stupid and get frostbite. I'm going to safely say never, ever, ever.
What's the
doing that?
What's the shot cost?
It doesn't say.
I mean, I can't imagine they.
You don't keep. I mean, the toe comes out. You know, you put the toe in there and then you take the shot, but you don't drink the toe.
So do you get to keep the toe when
No, you don't get to keep the toe.
Like they take the toe back.
Patrons are not allowed to swallow the toe. It's happened twice. Or they'll be charged a $500 fine. And it says, you're told you can drink it fast, you can drink it slow, but your lips must touch the toe.
All right.
I'm just reporting here, okay? I'm not endorsing this in any way. You know, my opinion of feet is a matter of Blitz lore, right?
Can you imagine putting somebody's toe in your mouth?
No, I can't. Especially a frozen
disgusting toe. An amputated toe. Now, a hot chick wants to put her toe in my mouth?
I'd probably let it happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, listen, sometimes you make sacrifices for the end game.
Yeah, as long as there's going to be some reciprocity the other way.
But you put an amputated human toe in your mouth, and all you get is a shot of liquor that you could have had without a toe to begin with. You're a moron.
It says they're sterilized by the drying and storage process. When the toes arrive, we put them in medical fluid. Could you be a little more specific? Medical fluid? That could be anything. Technically, that could be urine. It says then we drain that and chop off any fat or veins that might be hanging out. We then sit them in rock salt for 6 weeks, and they become preserved.
Okay.
Remove the toes from the salt each time we use them and try to rotate them each week. They added that Griffith's offer of the three new toes is amazing. And, so there you go. Sour toe
amazing.
Cocktail. Yeah. Oh, geez, no way.
God, Canadians are so weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody who lives in that kind of environment has to be weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not cool. All right. That is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
You know what? Take that, too much sports guy. go sign on the toe. Oh, man. All right. I'm sure you saw this, but care to guess which conference had the most draft picks again last night?
The Southeastern Conference?
Indeed.
Shocker.
Seventh time in 8 years, the SEC had the most number one picks. 10 were taking Thursday. ACC was second with 6. So
half of the picks were from the ACC or the SEC?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Major schools without selections included Auburn, LSU, Texas, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Clemson, Stanford, and yet Texas State had one. So, or not Texas State, UTSA. Yeah. No,
or
UTSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had
Texas
one.
A&M didn't either.
No. That's what I'm saying.
So the only school with a Texas player drafted, or the only college with a player drafted in Texas, is UTSA?
Yeah. What do you have to say about that?
Times they are a-changing.
Yeah, although I think Christian Kirk gets drafted tonight. I think Texas will have a pick tonight.
Yeah, Connor Williams will get drafted. Malik Jefferson will get drafted.
Yeah, so that will change, but 10 out of the SEC.
Next year, the highest Texas draft pick will probably be Ed Oliver.
Yeah, probably will be.
Yeah.
Big 12 had the number one pick, and that was it.
Well, hey, if you're gonna only have one pick, hey, make it that one.
Yeah, but he is from Texas, so even though he played at OU, I guess
he's from Austin.
Yeah, you can't really claim that though, right?
No.
Okay. All right, 713.
Once you go to Oklahoma, you're out.
Yeah, you're no longer. You're no.
Although
longer,
he did play at Texas Tech
briefly, but then he went to Oklahoma.
Right.
Once you go to Oklahoma, you're dead to everyone in Texas. I mean, that's just that's like becoming a Lannister.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gone.
All right, guys, got to tell you what's going on at Carbach. They've got a bunch of new brews out right now. The Weekday Warrior Session IPA is available. The Blood Orange Rattler is available. Mango Hop Delusion is out on shelves right now. And the Tasty Wave Summer Ales are out and about. Coming up May 20th, the second annual Love Street Music Fest. The Bleachers, Cold War Kids, Everclear, the Tauntauns, the Unlikely Candidates, all going to be there, all jamming out. This year's festival's got a bigger layout, more token stations, more beer stations, more local vendors. It's just going to be a bigger, better festival. CarbachBrewing.com for more info and tickets. It's going to be a good time. Make sure you make it out to the Beer Garden every Monday night at 6 for bingo in the Beer Garden. The Love Street Blues series is every Wednesday night at 6. No charge to listen to the music. Just buy your own brews. Got a great restaurant on site, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. World-class cuisine paired perfectly with the Carbach Brew. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And this weekend, pick up your favorite Carbach beer or tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Hey, guys, has spring cleaning hit your house yet? It's time to, and it's time to throw out the old beds and hit Texas Mattress Makers up for factory pricing on beds for the entire family. Guess what, guys? Let's make this the last weekend that you sleep on a bad bed. Let's get rid of the old ones. Let's go over to Texas Mattress Makers. You're going to get 20% off factory prices and custom fitting. And the thing is, the custom-fitted handcrafted beds have never been more affordable. And sure, you could go to a store, another store. You can go to a retail store and pay 50% more. You might even be buying a mattress that was made at Texas Mattress Makers. You're not getting it custom-fitted. And you know what? They're going to put you on the bed that's best for you. So you're going to save 50%. Spring clean your way to Texas Mattress Makers. Visit them today. Two great locations. 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. That's exit 742. Or the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. And Yuval and the gang over there are fantastic. They're going to put you on a great mattress. I would not get my mattresses anywhere else. And they've got so many great ones to choose from, the London, the Athens, all of them. Go and check them out today. 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood or the new store in Katy. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means. Time for the gambling legend of the universe. He is the guru. He is the man. R.J. Bell. Follow him on Twitter, at R.J. in Vegas. And R.J., how are you doing, my friend?
Awesome. Sugarland. Now, isn't there a big high school football that I'm associating with that name? Or am I just off?
I think you're just off.
No, there's a bunch of, there's big time high school football all over the place. But yes, they have.
Yeah.
They've got like six different schools out here, and they're all pretty good. So
I'll be honest. I mean, if you're saying like, where's the movie set at? It's like Sugarland, Texas. That sounds interesting.
That's a possibility, but it's kind of funny how much this whole area has grown. When I was growing up, there was one high school out here, and it was Dulles High School, and now there's like 400 of them. So,
I didn't know that. You grew up in Houston?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, down farther south, closer to Galveston, but yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, hey, before we get to gambling stuff, I'd like to get your opinion on your Steelers draft pick last night.
You know something? This is a good segue because I want to question the very premise of draft opinions. And I'm talking about from Mel Kiper to whomever, Maylock. I don't care if you used to be whatever you used to be. Here's my question. The very act of grading a pick, let's say me and the Steelers, I'm grading the pick, presupposes I know more about the player they picked, or at least what I know is more predictive of their future performance than the GM had picked them. So I know that, expert XYZ, and I'll say expert in quotes, says, you know, this guy had a third round grade. And I hate hearing that as a Steeler fan. But now, are we really believing the person that says that knows more than their GM, Colbert? So I get it. There's a whole entertainment industrial complex built up around the draft, and I enjoy it. It's fun, but I don't think there's one professional bettor I know that would say, you know, I was thinking about betting Team X on the futures, and I saw they got an A-minus draft grade, and thus I'm gonna fire. Because it presupposes whoever's grading knows more than the GM. So how in the heck could I know how good this Pittsburgh pick is?
Well, Fred and I have long said that we're better GMs than Rick Smith, and Rick Smith got fired, and we could have taken that job, but we decided to keep doing this show instead.
Was it a tough negotiation with the station?
No, it wasn't.
Seems like you might have had a little leverage there.
We were okay with players kneeling, and that was what ended the discussion with the Texans.
Okay, but let me. I get it. Talk radio is kind of built around having opinions that maybe, they're not fully steeped in knowledge about the topic. And you guys are I think, less egregious about that than most. So I'm not critiquing. But how can anyone grade these drafts? Unless you're like a GM. And even if you're a GM, you don't, for another team. Like, in theory, can the Steelers GM grade the Patriots draft? Well, they don't really know what Belichick thinks of their tackle. Or, you know, you might think, oh, they didn't need to draft that center. They got a good center. But maybe that GM for the team knows, well, our center's having a drug problem. If he gets caught one more time, we're in trouble. Or who knows what, right? So I don't get it.
Well, I do want to clarify. I wasn't asking you to grade. I was just asking for your opinion.
Yeah, how you felt about it.
How you felt about it.
But to me, but in a way, how I feel is an implicit grade, right? It's a grade. I thought it was a great pick.
As a fan, do you like the player that the Steelers took? Are you excited that he's part of your team now?
No, that's an interesting question, because I do think, for me, as I get a little bit older and, you know, hit my mid-40s, is the idea of me feeling a little more disconnected from the player. You know, when you're 30, even though if you're not a professional athlete, you can kind of relate to the 30-year-olds that you're watching play a little bit, you know, not as, you know, obviously not fully, but then you're, you know, 15 years past and it's like, okay. And some of the, you know, these draftees are like 21. And to me, the ones that feel old school, right? I kind of relate to those more, because I feel like, well, I'm intrinsically old school, right? Because I'm 15 years or whatever past most NFL players. So it did feel like, again, from a distance, he was a high character guy, which I tend to like. Like, I hate when a team – now, I don't mind if they sign a free agent that's a flyer, you know, like the Patriots did with Randy Moss way back when. Understanding if he works out, great. If not, you cut him. But if you make a number one pick – that guy's probably around for 4 or 5 years, regardless. And I, you know, when it's not a high character guy, to me, it's like, do I really got to like read, you know, the ticker at the bottom of ESPN when he gets in a bar fight or something? So I, at least in that regard, it feels like a character guy. But back up a second, guys. Are you really saying you're not grading the draft?
We didn't give out a single letter grade today.
No, we give opinions on who did what, but I don't do grades. I think grades are one of the. I agree with your premise, because I was reading somebody today that gave the Bills an F, and the whole thing was they didn't like Allen. Well, okay.
I saw somebody give the Bills an A because they got the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, so grades don't really matter. But
And the funny thing is, if you look at the Saints draft last year, which by some accounts is one of the best drafts of the last 20 years, not great grades after that draft. It wasn't like, oh, this is one of the best drafts.
Right.
And remember that Seattle draft that really solidified them as a Super Bowl team? They started I'm always interested in the teams that are drafting in a way that no one understands what they're trying to do, because at least then you know they've got a plan. Like, there's something they're seeing. Like, hey, we think tight ends are going to be bigger, or we think they're going to be smaller, or we think left tackles don't matter as much because of this. Like, at least then you're looking ahead, and that's what Seattle did. I can still remember that Seattle draft. They're saying, oh, we didn't have this guy do the third round. And then another guy's like, oh, I don't think he can play this position. Ends up they change his position. And to me, I enjoy those teams that are seemingly ahead of the curve. Now, they're not always right, but at least you've got a strong opinion. And it feels like the Patriots do that, right? When do the Patriots ever get a good draft grade? I mean, they rarely do, and I'm kind of a draft nick where I love to follow just to get a feel what the narrative is, even though I don't believe the narrative. But knowing the narrative helps me, you know, with the teams that are very popular, like, oh, right, everyone loves this draft. Would you say in the last 10 years, the Patriots have had, at best, an average draft grade when you add it all up?
Yes, but the Patriots also almost always pick dead last if they pick a first-rounder.
Well, it's a good statement in general, but how good they are, I agree with you, AJ. But in general, people grade you, and again, I'm not obsessed with the letter grade, right? It's thumbs up, thumbs down, or we're happy, we're not happy. But it seems like it's all relative to when you picked, right? If the Browns had got Baker Mayfield 32nd, no one would complain, right? But they took him first, so a lot of people question it.
Yeah, well, and as to grades, I don't think you can put letter grades on any draft class until 3 years later. And to your other point, we were talking about the Saints earlier. I thought they gave up an awful lot to move up to draft the kid they did last night. But I'm also going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they did have such a good draft class last year when people questioned that. So,
Mike Lombardi, who I'm a big fan of and I've gotten to know a little bit, which has been a real thrill, is he was talking last night about he was on his podcast talking about that Bill Parcells used to have three degrees of urgency for a certain position. And it was I don't remember the exact words, but it was a variation of must have, want to have, like to have. You know, and the must have being we can't enter this year without getting somebody to play this position that we think has a good chance to be successful. And what they said with the Saints was that what he had heard was that the Saints had said, we need a pass rusher. And if we enter this year without improving an edge rusher, we can't win the Super Bowl. So that's interesting. You got a guy like Breeze who, how many years does he have left? Is it two? Right? Is that a good guess?
Two might be a stretch, yeah.
One or two, right?
One or two.
So if and once they lose Breeze, what's the odds that year plus one, the year after Breeze, that they're competitive? Right? They could get super lucky, but
my guess is there's some regression there.
Yeah. So in a way, this is what the Broncos did, and they ended up getting that Peyton Manning Super Bowl. They said we got Manning for X number of years, and we're going to sign crazy contracts. We're going to make crazy trades. We don't care about any of this because we want to max our chance to win the next 2 years. And the fact they've stayed fairly competitive, though obviously last year there was a big drop off, but even after, Manning, I guess, as I remember the year after Manning, what did they win? Like 8 or 9 games? Am I remembering that right? But they were fair. They weren't horrible, right? They weren't picking at the top of the draft. That was a surprise, but and this is an interesting question. Would you rather make the AFC Championship game as a Houston fan 8 out of 10 years with no Super Bowls or make it 1 year and win a Super Bowl?
I'd rather make it 1 year and win a Super Bowl.
I say that as
a Bills fan. All those AFC championships mean literally nothing. I mean, when you don't win a single one, I would trade all four of those seasons where they made it to the Super Bowl for one actual Super Bowl championship.
You agree with that, Fred?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean,
that's what you play for.
Exactly. That's you play to have your name on that trophy. It's just like the Astros. If you'd have told me, hey, they're going to completely suck and be useless for 6 years,
I don't care.
But
now.
Then they win a World Series. It's like, yeah, they can suck for the next 6 years. I'm fine with that. They got the trophy.
And so doesn't that kind of explain what the Saints are doing? Because if your horizon is, well, how good is this team going to be over the next 5 years, giving away a first-round pick next year to get a key guy this year might not make a ton of sense, right? But if your goal is to win a Super Bowl when you can and you need a pass rusher that badly, and from what I heard, he was the last pass rusher left that they thought was impactful, then this trade makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
And to me, the analogy I would give quickly is, imagine we were playing a game of chess. And, there's a specific goal in the typical rules of chess, which is checkmate your opponent. Imagine if I'm playing kind of weird, and at the end you checkmate me, and you're like, man, RJ, seemed like you made some bad moves. It's like, well, yeah, you and I bet $100 he was going to win this chess game, but I bet another guy for every pawn I capture of yours, I win $1,000. All of a sudden, we're playing two different games.
Right.
Right?
I guess my thought is, if you're the Saints and you know that you've only got a year or two left of Drew Brees, you have no idea what you're going to look like come next offseason, and now you don't have a draft pick, and it's that ain't great.
But AJ, usually that draft pick that year isn't about the next year anyway. Right? The theory is the Saints figure if they get a pass rusher, they're going to be picking, 24. What would you say is the over-under for where the Saints pick next year? I would say 24.5. I would make the over-under.
Okay. I mean, I'd probably make it 22.5, something like that. But it's, I mean, around the same as you, yeah.
Okay. So you're figuring, hey, if we end up picking, somewhere in the 20s next year, meaning we think we're going to have a good season this year, that pick we'd make at 24 or whatever isn't necessarily going to be, in fact, is unlikely to be an impact player the very next year. So if your horizon is 2 years, next year's 20-something pick doesn't mean a lot. Usually a 20-something pick is, if you get very lucky, they're impactful that year, but you're hoping they're impactful in year two. So I think it goes back to their horizon.
I guess I'm just a believer in, if you're going to use 2 first-round picks on a player, it better be a franchise quarterback, because I think that's the only player on the field that has that much of an impact.
They have a franchise quarterback.
For now, they won't. That's why I'm saying, had they taken him where, you know, wherever they were sitting, okay. Had they given up an extra second-round pick to move up, okay. But I just think giving up 2 first-round picks for one player, that guy should be Deshaun Watson. And I didn't complain when the Texans did that. I didn't complain when the Chiefs did it to get Patrick Mahomes. It's, if you believe that's a franchise-changing player, go for it. But the odds that a pass rusher from Conference USA is a franchise-changing player, to me, seem a little bit long.
No, I agree with you. And I'm not even saying I like the move. What I'm saying is the Saints are not stupid, right? So for me, it's too easy to just think, if I disagree with something and it's not obvious to me why they have a valid case, I can disagree with someone and think they have a valid case. I just think they're wrong. In this case, no one seems to think they have even, I don't hear anyone explaining why they think the Saints have a valid case where this could make sense. I want to understand why a smart person did something that I can't even comprehend, because likely I'm going to learn something. And I did think the idea, and I'm not saying I agree, though I tend to be honest, is that idea of how impact, really what you said, AJ, if I could reiterate it, is you better get a big, big impact player if you're going to trade a first-round pick. And you're kind of saying, hey, really the only type of impact player I think reaches that level is a quarterback. My point is, if you have a quarterback, you've got 1 or 2 more years with him, and you've got such a glaring hole that if you don't get this pass rusher, you don't have a great chance to win the Super Bowl. But if you do, your odds go up significantly. I don't know. Do the odds go from, let's say, 5% to 12%? Does that seem right? If that, let's just say
that. On that
the
one
case,
player? You think they jump set?
I mean, that's the question.
You're assuming that player's the right player.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you better have some faith in him. I agree with you. But even if he wasn't there, thought it was a fit. Oh, good.
If he's that great, why did he go 14th?
Well, yeah.
I mean, there were 13 players that the teams thought were better than that guy, and. You know what? Like, Bradley Chubb felt like a can't-miss prospect. Had they traded up to 5 and got Bradley Chubb, I guess I'd be less worried about it. I just feel like to reach on a player who seems like a total boom or bust type player and give up 2 first-round picks. Like, think about this, RJ. How many players in the NFL, like, that are currently on a roster would you trade 2 first-round picks to have on your team, not quarterbacks?
Well, but then you got to get in the salary cap, right? Because a guy who's on a rookie contract is much more valuable than, let's say, a guy in his 7th year, even though
what I find more valuable? A guy that I know can play in the NFL. So
your theory, though, AJ, then building through free agency would be the best way to build a winner, which seems to never happen.
Someone asked me today, what players would I trade 2 first-round picks for that aren't a quarterback? And the only guy I could come up with was Aaron Donald. And even him, I'd be really hesitant to do it, because I just feel like those first-round draft picks are so valuable. And if you're, like, had the Saints taken this guy, you know, had they taken him number 14 without trading next year's pick, I think there would be some real risk with it, given, you know, that the guy's a one-year breakout guy, played at a small college in a small conference. There just seems a lot of inherent risk involved already to give up next year's first-round pick on top of it. That's why I know what they're playing for right now. It just seems like a very big risk.
But, AJ, everything you're saying to me is high IQ, and I can't look at anything you're saying and say, oh, that's idiotic. But
sure you can. My wife does it all the time.
I think you're playing. I think you're playing a different game. Everything you said is about, if there was an over-under bet, how many games will the Saints win in the next 5 seasons? if that, as in, let's just say they're going to average 8 wins a year, so 40, you know, is the over under 40, let's say, over the next 5 seasons. Okay, regular season. Now, what you're saying is I think they've lost 2.5 games based on giving up that first-round pick. I might agree with you, but that's not the game they're playing. The game they're playing is what maximizes our chance to win a Super Bowl the next 2 years. And let me ask you that question. Do you think the Saints picking where they were originally at, and let's assume, because I can promise you, if they thought that guy was going to drop to him, they wouldn't have traded. So let's assume he doesn't drop, and let's assume the Saints are right that they don't think there's another edge rusher that can really be impactful, that he was the last guy on the board. In that case, wouldn't you agree this trade increases their chances to win the next 2 years, the Super Bowl?
I do, but here's the other thing. I don't think the Saints are like...
mission accomplished.
I don't think the Saints are a player away from winning the Super Bowl.
I thought they could. I'll be honest with you, in hindsight, I think they were as good as any team last year.
So they've been in the playoffs 4 times since they won the Super Bowl back in 2009. They lost a wild card game once. They lost in the divisional round the other 3 times. In the last 4 years, they won 11 last year. The 3 before that, they won 7 games. This isn't a team that's teetering on the edge of winning a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a serious question. Where did you have the Saints power rating? I'm not saying you do official power rating, but who would you, maybe you do, but who would have been clearly better than them entering the playoffs in your mind last year?
Minnesota, Philadelphia.
Hold on. You didn't think Philadelphia was better.
Entering the playoff without Carson Wentz. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I New England for sure. I don't know offhand, but I'll tell you this. I wasn't in love with the Saints last year.
Well, if you have the 3rd best team in a year, it means that you can always win it. You're right in the mix, right? In theory, that great draft they have last year, these players are better in year 2. And you're right. If I had to bet yes or no where the Saints win the Super Bowl, I'd make my biggest bet of the year, no. But if you only win, on average, you're supposed to win a Super Bowl every 32 years, right? On average.
On average,
that's
yeah.
If you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, I actually respect the team for not – apparently the GM has a great relationship with the owner. I don't know anything about that relationship. But usually people will do the things to not get fired rather than max their chance at titles. And look at the Sixers. Is everyone celebrating the process? Well, the guy that architected the process is unemployed, right? Because doing what's right to maximize your chance to win a title – is oftentimes the owner can't comprehend that and you get fired for it.
Yeah.
The fact the Saints are at least doing a gutsy move here, even if it's the wrong move, I like that it's gutsy and I like that they're focused, it would seem, on winning a title, not just going 9-7 instead of 7-9.
Well, and I'll just, to back that up from their perspective, I'm sure they're looking at it as, hey, we were one fluke play away from the NFC Championship last year. And
for sure, and they would have been favored in that game for sure against the Eagles.
All right, well, guess what? I think we just spent our entire time talking.
Talking about the Saints traffic.
That's all right, though. It was fun and insightful, as it always is, RJ. Appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, Fred, get your Kentucky Derby stuff ready, baby.
I'm working on it.
Talk to you.
All right. Yeah, so there you go. We know year to year things can change so much. Do you really think the Texans thought they'd be giving up the 4th pick in the draft when they?
Of course not.
When they made that deal,
of course not.
Because
would they have done it if they knew they were going to have the 4th pick in the draft?
I don't know.
My guess is no.
If you had said, okay, here's what's going to happen. Well, I don't know. I guess if you told them, okay, he's going to play 6 games and look like a future superstar, and then he's going to break, and you're going to be picking 4th. I still think you do it, but. If you don't say that, you say,
you can have the 12th pick this year or the 4th pick next year.
You're going to take the 4th pick.
You're going to and not to mention the 12th pick and another pick.
Right. Well, you would have 27, I guess 25 or 27.
25 last year. Yeah. So they would have had the 25th pick, and then they would have had the 4th pick this year. Even if you knew what Deshaun Watson was, I don't know if you'd do that.
Well, I think – so that's where it's hard, because if you look at it from a perspective of before last year, you would have looked at this draft and thought the quarterbacks were better.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that I look at this draft now and say any of those guys is better than Deshaun Watson.
I don't know that I do either.
So,
But you also, at the time, didn't you? Like, probably the one thing the Texans were worried about with Deshaun Watson was, that's a guy who's already had an ACL surgery. And then, boom, first year he has another one. Yeah. Like, that's another thing that, I mean, I guess you'd factor in. But, yeah, it'd be a really difficult decision one way or the other on whether or not you'd actually make that move, given that, you know, given
and
how everything played out.
Yeah, because if you go back to before last season, before Darnold's stock went down a little bit, when it looked like he was going to be an Andrew Luck type talent, and you knew you had the fourth pick in a draft that would also have Josh Rosen, I think you'd feel really good about that.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, if you ask me who I'd rather have and what I would I be okay giving up with a mid-20s draft pick to get Deshaun Watson? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
In a four, which is essentially what it amounted to. And if he winds up not being the answer, okay, you know, you'll be caught up next year. You can start over.
Yeah. And by the way, like Clayton says, loving the Saints talk, guys. Keep it coming, especially the part how wrong AJ is about him. Everybody thinks their team does the smart thing on draft day.
Yep.
Like, you're all a bunch of suckers. Like, if you think your team gets it right every year, you're crazy.
And they don't. And I want to say something I wish RJ were still here to defend himself on it a little bit. But the truth is, some of the people that are evaluating outside of an organization do know more than the people inside the organization.
It's not.
Lance Zierlein knows more than a lot of NFL GMs. I'm going to tell you right now about these players. And, you know, it's silly to say, well, that's their job. They should know more than we do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys don't. And, you know, they work their butts off to get those jobs. They get in that position. They get blinkers on. Some people see things in players that nobody else sees, and that's what makes them good. That's what makes them better than everybody else. And some guys are in those jobs, and they look in, and they're taking these 6'5" quarterbacks who throw the ball 90 yards and think, okay, that's the prototypical quarterback. He's going to be a badass, and he winds up being a bust. So,
all right, guys. Got to tell you about the fights coming up tomorrow night on HBO. It's this Saturday. Daniel Jacobs, former WBA middleweight champion Daniel Jacobs, 33-2 with 29 knockouts. Last time we saw him, dominant 12-round unanimous decision over then undefeated Luis Arias back in November. And he's looking to keep it going in his hometown, there in New York. Brownsville, New York is where he's from. Produced Mike Tyson and Riddick Bowe. This is a guy who comes from a community that's put out a lot of really great fighters. He was a great youth boxer growing up in Brooklyn, and he's turned into a fantastic pro, despite the fact that he had bone cancer, which is out of this world. I mean, it's the first ever cancer-surviving champion. He's taking on Maciej Selecki, the Warsaw, Poland native who's now living in Florida. He's 26-0 with 10 knockouts, had a great 2017. And has compiled some big wins in his career over Hugo Santano, Daryl Cunningham, and looks to keep it going against Daniel Jacobs, the Miracle Man. Brooklyn-born Daniel Miracle Man Jacobs returns to HBO in the Barclays Center to headline World Championship Boxing, an explosive middleweight showdown against undefeated Maciej Selecki, plus Brooklyn's undefeated Jarrell Big Baby Miller, faces former title challenger Johan de Haupus in a heavyweight clash, live tomorrow night, Saturday, 9 o'clock Central Time, and it's only on HBO.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.